Open your Bibles, as I said, in the book of Philippians chapter 4, where we're studying and meditating upon. And we commence reading just there in the verse number 1 once again, verse number 1 and down to the verse number 7. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Keep our Bibles open there. We're going to bow our heads and solemnize our hearts and ask the Lord just to speak to us afresh through his precious word and guide us and bless our souls even as we seek his face around his truth. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee that it is an infallible word. We thank thee it's an unchanging word. We thank thee that we have something that we can depend upon in an uncertain world and uncertain days. We thank thee that thy word is a solid foundation and we can rest upon it. And, oh God, we just embrace it today and we love it and we pray that thou wilt, Lord, just help us to love thy word more and search the scriptures and that in all things and everywhere that we might seek for Christ. And we know that when we seek for thee, then thou wilt be found of us. And we pray for those that know not the Lord, and we pray that even this morning, that as the Word of God is meditated upon, that the ungodly, the unsaved, those that are not prepared to meet thee, Lord, may realize this morning, may their minds be enlightened, and may their hearts be opened, and, O God, realize just what they're missing in Jesus Christ. We thank thee that we have a forgiveness of our sin. We thank thee that we have peace within. We thank thee, O God, that we have someone that will always be with us and never leave us nor forsake us. We thank thee, O God, even when it comes to the valley of the shadow of death, then we'll fear no evil because thou, the Lord, art with us. And thy rod and thy staff, they comfort us. And so, Lord, we bless thee that we have a wonderful Savior and wonderful salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we pray that you'll help us now to faithfully and carefully divide the word of truth, and, O God, bring a word right from thyself. We pray this in Jesus' precious name, and for Jesus' sake and glory alone. Amen. Amen. Now we've been looking at this, the book of Philippians, and we're in the chapter 4, and we have been speaking about the praise that is and ought to be in the believer's life. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Verse number 4, and again I say rejoice. I want us now to look this morning to the peace of the believer. We have talked about the praise of the believer. We come to the peace of the believer. When we were looking at this chapter, we noted to you brought to your attention that there are many problems and difficulties that confront the child of God. God's children are not immune from trouble. We all know that in our own personal experience. That we have to go through the valley many times in life's experiences. And there are many problems that face us. We have noticed already that there was among some of the believers in Philippi the spirit of defeatism. And they needed to be encouraged. Says there in verse number 1, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy, my crown, stand fast or stand firm in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And they needed to be encouraged to take their stand for the Lord and stand firm in the Lord. And, of course, that is an exhortation for us this morning, that we would continue and that we would stand fast in the Lord and in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Then, of course, we noted secondly that not only was there this problem of defeatism, there was the problem of disagreement. And there were two sisters in the fellowship, and we find that these two sisters had differences, and they were severe differences. They were severe enough for Paul to write it here in the Word of God and the Spirit of God to record it here for us. And it was a severe difference that was amongst these sisters. And these differences threatened the unity of the believers and the fellowship that was at Philippi. Now, you and I know that the only one is delighted whenever there's disagreement among the people of God or disunity among the people of God is the devil. The devil's always happy. The devil's delighted. My, I could see the other rascal rubbing his hands and saying, my, or his hoofs, and saying, my, what a wonderful thing for this disagreement among the people of God. And of course, if the devil's happy about it, the Spirit's grieved about it. And of course, that ought not to be, because this difference was so great amongst these sisters. You notice what Paul says in verse 2, I beseech. In other words, he's begging them. He's making a plea to them from the depths of his heart in the name of the Lord. And he says, I beseech one sister. He says, I beseech the other sister. And so he realized there were two sides to this. And he was realizing there was a real problem here. And they became a distraction in the fellowship. Instead of them looking to the Lord and looking to the ways of God and seeking the face of God, now there was this distraction that was going on amongst the people of God. And not only was there a distraction and a disunity and a disagreement, my, there was a destruction of the fellowship that ought to be among the people of God and the love that ought to be among the people of God. Then there was a third problem that I noted to you, and we haven't touched on, but it is the problem of depression. It is the problem of depression. And you'll notice here, this problem is Paul commands to a continual rejoicing in verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And we will in a moment, we'll see just how that depression can impact upon the lives of the children of God. But we're exhorted, we are instructed rather to rejoice in the Lord. Now, I believe that Paul's acknowledging here the importance of a good witness amongst the people of God. The world's looking on. And of course, whenever they see a child of God overcome by problems or difficulties or situations, then of course that does not bring and bear a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Christ, we say, the Lord really makes a difference. The Lord Jesus makes a difference in my life. Well, you know, the world looks on and says, well, what is this difference? What is this difference that you're talking about? You say that Jesus Christ makes a difference in your life, and when you become a child of God, it really becomes a different journey through life. Well, what is that difference? And whilst they know not Christ, they will examine you, and they will examine me, and they will look to see what difference does faith in Jesus Christ make in the life of the child of God. Now, friends, let me tell you, there's no one of us here, there's not one of us in this service, but sometime or other in our lives we've been down. There have been times whenever life has pressed upon us, and be honest before God, we have just not been the bright, shiny person that we claim always to be. And there are times that we get down, and there are times that the problems of life and the pressures of life press upon us. And so it says in God's word, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, and we have to be honest before God, we haven't rejoiced in the Lord always. That has not been our experience every day of our lives. But it is an instruction, it's an exhortation from the Word of God and from the Spirit of God today through the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Philippi. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. God, may God give us a spirit of rejoicing, that we might be a happy people in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want us to look here at these verses here, especially verses 5, 6, we might get to verse 7, but I want us to notice some things. There are four things that if we're going from verse 5 to verse 7, that I could leave with you this morning. First of all, there is our testimony. Then secondly, there is our triumph. Thirdly, there is our trust. And fourthly, there's our thrill. And so we'll see just how far we get this morning. But first of all, notice the importance of our testimony. Now, it says here in verse number 5, these words, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." That's your testimony. This is a testimony that people will see, not just simply the testimony people hear, but it says here something that people see, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." Now, in other words, the believer is to live a life of moderation. And that is to be evident. That life of moderation is to be evident before all men. That's what the Holy Ghost is saying here. That's the import of what has been said here, that you and I are to live a life of moderation and that it is to be evidenced before others. Let your moderation be known or be seen unto or by all men. Now, of course, we ask ourselves, well, what does this mean, the word moderation? Now, that word moderation, in actual fact, it can be translated many different ways. The word there can mean forbearance. It can mean yieldedness. It can mean gentleness. It can mean considerateness. It can mean sweet reasonableness. It can mean agreeableness. Those are all in that word, moderation. And that is to be the witness or the testimony that you and I are to be, or we are to show before men. In actual fact, also can mean courtesy. It can mean courtesy, being courteous as a believer. Now, others also have translated the same word as patience. And the word moderation, let's be clear, it doesn't mean that you and I as Christians are called upon to be moderate and we're to yield our principles and we're to yield to the pressures of others to do that which is wrong. That does not mean, that's not what is implied here in any shape or form, so let no one take this word and try to use it and abuse it and put something into it where the Holy Ghost has not put into it. You see, the two sisters in disagreement with each other, they seem to want to have their own way. And the atmosphere, therefore, and the witness that was before the world, as the world looked on, and even as other believers looked on, the atmosphere was wrong. And moderation describes a well-mannered life. One that is not offensive, one's not rude, one that is not ungracious. And so Paul is exhorting us all to live a life that is becoming, that the world sees, that is becoming the child of God. Well-mannered, courteous in our dealings with others. I want you just to turn to the book of Proverbs just for a wee moment, please. And in Proverbs chapter 15, in verse number 1, always keep your hand in Philippians because, well, you know we're coming back there. But the book of Proverbs chapter 15, it says this. It says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Now, that is in this word of moderation. It says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath." Is it not true that so often when somebody gets under our skin or somebody says something that we don't like, just as quick as a flash, we'll just seek to slay them. We seek to just lay them low, just with one lash of the sword, my will take the feet from under them, and my will walk away and say, "Didn't I do well? My, I just shut him up, and I just laid him low, just all of a flash." Now, my friend, the Word of God says this. It says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." Instead of solving a problem, in actual fact, what you have said actually could create the problem. So you have to be careful how that you present yourself, and I'm speaking to my own heart here as well as to everyone else, because what the Word of God said. Now, there's another little word over in Proverbs chapter 25 and the verse number 11, Proverbs chapter 25 And the verse number 11, it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. A word fitly spoken. Now, what is that word fitly spoken? It means suitably spoken. It's suitable to the child of God. It is the proper word that is spoken. A word suitably spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. So we have to be careful in this life of moderation, which is mentioned here. It's one that is patient, it's one that's long-suffering, it's one that is gentle, it is one gentleness of temper, and it is to show forth the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I read this week. It says, someone has noted, your temper is one of your most valued possessions. Don't lose it. Your temper is one of your most valued possessions. Don't lose it. You see, there is, in this verse it says here, let your moderation be known unto all men. There is no desire for revenge. That ought not to be in the heart of the child of God. That is not what we're to show before the world. In other words, I'll get my own back on him. And you know, there are people today, friend, let me tell you this, and they profess to love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can know if you're to write one word over them, you just put bitterness. They are so bitter. They live their lives so bitter. And they're consumed by that. That is not the sign of a child of God. And that is not to be the spirit of the child of God. Even in days of adversity, if we really believe that we can trust the Lord to see us through. We read the Psalm 31 there this morning. And I can tell you, friends, even when we have great enemies against us, we have to trust God, and we believe that our times are in God's hands. And we have to trust the Lord to see us through, and we believe that God has promised to see us through. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I always think of Abraham. We were studying that in the mornings that I've been over in the Bible class, the life of Abraham, and how that Abraham and his nephew Lot, they were together. And then the Lord prospered them. Now, whenever prosperity came in, we find that problems came and trouble came. And there was a strife between the servants of Abraham, and there was a strife between the servants of Lot. Came to the place where Abram believed before God that he would separate completely from his nephew Lot. And if you let me just read what it says in Genesis chapter 13. And it says at verse number 6, Genesis 13, 6, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. So in other words, God had richly blessed them, and they've been prospering, and their substance was great. They could no longer live together. In verse number 7, and there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt in the land. They were watching on. The Canaanite and the Perizzite, they were watching on. And here was the servants of Abraham, and here were the servants of Lot, an uncle and nephew, and they were fighting the bit out. And the Perizzites and the Canaanites were watching on. Now tell me, friend, what kind of a witness was that? What kind of an example before the world? Man, when the world says, here's a person, but you know, the Lord makes a great difference in my life. And you see that person just consumed by bitterness and say, well, the Lord would need to make a difference, but it's not already made. The Lord needs to make a difference. Now, what did Abram say? Verse number 8 of chapter 13. Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between thy herdsmen and, or my herdsmen and thy herdsmen. And here's the reason. For we be brethren. We be brethren. In other words, as the world looks on, what kind of example? We're not showing a proper example of what the child of God should be. And so it says in Philippians chapter 4, let your moderation be known unto all men, because that witness is being seen of others. In Acts chapter 4, in the verse number 31, we find there in verse 31, it says this in the verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They took knowledge of them. They took knowledge of them. What did they take knowledge of? That they'd been with Jesus. That's what they saw. They saw men that had been with Jesus. They saw men that were exhibiting, even in the midst of affliction, even in the midst of time of opposition, they saw men because they watched them. They watched them and they saw men that had been with Jesus. Plato said this, when men speak evil of you, so live that nobody will believe them. When men speak evil of you, so live that nobody will believe them. Because the life that you have lived before them is a life that will glorify the Lord. Let your light so shine before men. And word moderation. There's another word, of course, we come from it. It is modesty. Modesty. And I believe that that is something that if you're putting, how should I appear, a child of God asked this question, how should I appear as a Christian? What is, whenever I'm walking down the street, how is my appearance to show Christ? And I believe that it's modesty. Modesty. I believe it's so important that God's people, that the world, as they look on, they see a difference in the child of God. That the child of God is different. That the child of God, yes, that Christ really does make a difference in our appearance, as well as our conversation, as well as our speech, that there is that modesty that is suitable, in other words, that will carry forth our testimony. And that is vital importance, that the way we appear before men and women, that it will carry forth, it is fitly or it is suitable for our testimony, that it will show, exhibit the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is there this exhortation, or what is the encouragement of it in verse number 5? It says, let your moderation be known unto all men, because the Lord's at hand. The Lord is at hand. And so Paul gives a good reason why that we ought to live such a life of moderation, of modesty before men. And the answer is because the Lord is at hand, the nearness of the Lord. Now, there are two thoughts in that. The Lord is at hand. In other words, that the Lord's with me. He's at hand. He's with me. And just remember this, that the Lord is always with us. It is good to encourage ourselves whenever we're in days of trouble, that the Lord is always there. That we can turn to the Lord because the Lord is at hand. We can really cry out unto the Lord because we know the Lord's at hand. He is with us. And to be conscious of that fact, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What reassurance there is in that. To know that the Lord is at hand and that the Lord has promised to honor those that honor him. What a blessing to know that the Lord is always with me. He is always at hand, and God will never allow his child to be the loser. God won't allow his child to be the loser. Now, that doesn't mean that certain circumstances that we'll not lose out, but it does mean that God will not allow us to be the losers, because he's at hand. We're under his eye watch. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto our cry. Because he's at hand, we're under the watchful eye of the Lord. But then, of course, the coming of the Lord is at hand. And friend, you and I need to be careful how we live our lives, because we know not the day and we know not the hour of the coming of the Lord. And the Lord will recompense all that you have had to forfeit through your moderation. Thank God, the Lord will set it all in order and God will put it all right when he comes. The Lord is at hand. And so therefore, don't complain if you have got to make changes in your life, in your appearance and be in your modesty, because your moderation is to be known before men, seen before men. Always be conscious you're living in the presence of the Lord. The Lord's always watching you. And the Lord's eyes are always upon you. And friend, you want to do that which brings glory and honor to the name of the Lord. Now, very quickly, let us go on here. There's the first thought, is the testimony. Secondly, the triumph. Look at verse number six. It says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Here is our triumph here. We are to be careful for nothing. Now, let's be careful here. That does not mean that we're to be careless. We're not to live carelessly. But it says we are to be careful for nothing. Now, the word careful speaks of being anxious or worried or in a state of distress, a distressful manner. You know, we live in an age of tremendous pressures. You and I know that we're all under pressure every day. No matter what age you are, there are different pressures for different age. Our young people are under tremendous pressures. Our children are under tremendous pressures. Our young parents are under tremendous pressures. Our mums and dads, to try and make ends meet, there's a tremendous pressure. The demands of life, there's so many pressures that are upon us all. Elderly people also are under pressure, and I'll soon know that reality in a very short period of time, but the elderly being under pressure. But the Word of God says that we're to be careful, or we're to be anxious, over anxious, or worried for nothing. You see, there is a fretfulness. Many of God's people are fretful. There is a fretful anxiety about so many things. I know that we live in times of financial difficulty. There are tremendous material financial pressures that are upon people today. And friend, to be honest, all of these pressures that crowd in upon you, you know, it saps away your strength. It saps away your vitality. It saps away your joy. And that's what the devil would love to rob us of. He'd love to rob us of our peace of mind. Can I ask you a simple question this morning, honestly before God? Are you given to worry this morning? Are your days consumed by worry? Now, it's true that many times God's people worry about things that actually never come to pass. They're always crossing bridges. My, if they've got a little pain, they always think it's something, it's always the worst. And to be honest with you, people today are anxious about just exactly what that pain means and what's going on in their body. And so they're worrying about things. There's an anxiety. Now, let me say something before God. I'm speaking to my heart and speaking to yours. Friend, let's be honest. Worry and anxiety doesn't change your situation one iota. Next, in fact, I'll say something else. It doesn't change your situation one iota for the better, but it makes it worse. Because on top of everything else, you've got this worry. On top of everything else. You see, the Latin word for worry describes a turbulent force that is responsible for a turmoil within. Worry, therefore, is when the heart and the mind is in turmoil. Now, you'll notice it goes on in verse 7. It says, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and mind. And your heart and your mind is involved in this. And it says that the peace of God shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. But whenever you are consumed with worry and depressed by your anxiety, friend, to be honest, this turbulent force is responsible for a turmoil that's within, and your heart and your mind's in turmoil. The Greek word that is behind, or the thought behind the word worry, is something that tears a man in two and drags him in opposite direction. In other words, emotionally and mentally. That's emotionally, that's the heart. Mind, that's the mentality, or the mind, or mentally.
Emotionally and mentally, you are torn apart. And so therefore the word here, careful, and the word of God says, be careful for nothing. For nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made unto God. The word careful actually means to be pulled in two directions. And therefore your energies are divided. It actually comes from an old English root word for worry that means to strangle or to choke. To strangle or choke. And so the anxiety that Paul's speaking of here, that was an among the people of God, it was pulling the believers apart in two different directions. And because they were so consumed about this, they had lost their fruitfulness and they had lost their usefulness in serving the Lord. And friend, you and I know that from experience that worry cuts off our lifeline. It ruins our health, it destroys our joy, but it solves no problem. There's never a man that has ever been able to witness that his worry has solved his problem. Do you remember Mary and Martha? Mary and Martha were two sisters, and the Lord often visited that home, and praise the Lord was always welcome in that home. It's a wonderful thing when a home is a welcoming place for the Lord. But you remember Martha, in the midst of what Jesus had to say, Martha got up and she was thinking, I better get something done here, I better get the meal ready for Jesus. And Mary wanted to sit. She realized that she had only a little time because the Lord would be leaving, and she wanted to drink in all that the Lord had said. She wanted to listen to the Lord. And you know, Martha, she went off and she was cumbered about. In Luke chapter 10, verse 40, Martha was cumbered about much serving. In actual fact, she got so wrought up about it, and she saw Mary, and that agitated her more. And there was Mary sitting so placidly and so pleasingly at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and she was so busy, and all the work was left to her, and she felt hard done by. You ever felt like that? You're hard done by. Just things are not going your way, and everybody seems to be sitting back, and you're the one that's doing everything, and you're hard done by. Well, the Word of God says that Martha was cumbered about much serving. She came to the Lord and said, Lord, dost thou not care? Imagine her saying that to the Lord. Do you not care? Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her. In other words, tell her to get up. Tell her to get up, therefore. That she helped me. Jesus, looking into the heart of Martha, knew that she was so troubled and so angry and so consumed by this whole situation. She had forgotten everything the Lord had ever said when she was sitting at the feet of Jesus. She had lost the sermon. The sermon that Christ had preached that day was lost on Martha. She had got so worked up about serving. Verse number 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Friend, be honest before God. Could that be written across you this morning? Not Martha, take your own name. Thou art careful, you're being strangled, you're being choked about many things. They've come in upon you. You see, but listen, preacher, they're real. And there's a turmoil that's going on inside you. It's consuming you. The Lord knew exactly this was consuming Martha. And then the Lord said this, but Martha, one thing's needful. He says, and Mary hath chosen that good part. Mary had chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Let me tell you what happened to Martha, friend. Martha got distracted about things. And she spent more time on her labors
than she spent on her Lord. Now, before God this morning is Martha, you and me. Now, we get so consumed about things. That's what Martha got consumed about, that she lost sight of her Lord. Now, I'm sure you can see the injury that worry can bring, friend, because worry brings physical weakness. I've seen big, strong men. I've seen women that have amazing strength and vitality. And friend, let me tell you, see, when worry has come and consumed their lives, friend, physically, they're just nothing anymore. It's broken their health. And physically, they're weak. And I can tell you something else. Spiritually, they're worn. Spiritually worn. Worn out. And when a believer is given over to worry, it weakens their desire to pray, spend time with God. Their vision is clouded. It hinders their walk. It hinders their witness. Let your moderation be known unto all men. There's their testimony. But now their testimony is weak. I said to you, a friend, worrying about situations is not going to change your situation. And that's what God says. Just turn to Matthew's Gospel for a moment. We'll soon be finished. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, is the Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus is speaking here to his children. And the Lord Jesus says this, verse 25. I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, what yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not your life more than meat and your body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And then the Lord ask this question. Which one of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? Does it solve the problem? Does it solve the problem? Fretful anxiety over things. Does it answer the problem, friend? No, it doesn't. And that brings me simply, and I've got to just leave this with you this morning, because we don't leave you with the thought there of be careful for nothing. Listen to the next thing. But in everything. But in everything. You've heard me say before, I get frustrated at times whenever I hear people talking to folks that are fretful about problems and difficulties, and they say to them, ah, don't worry, don't worry. And then they say something like this, you know, pull yourself together. Pull yourself, give yourself a shake. Give yourself a bit of a jizz and get up and go on. And friend, be honest before God, I've often said this and I say it again. You don't know how hurtful you are. You don't know the wound that you're causing by saying that, even though you think you're saying the best thing. Because quite often what you're doing is you're driving a knife into the wound deeper. You're wounding a brother. Because God knows if it was as simple as just giving yourself a shake, they would have done it so many times before. And so whenever you're faced with a situation, please don't be careless in what you're saying. Just think before you speak. Because you see, a word fitly spoken, it's as gold. What is the fitful word? What is the suitable word in the midst of that situation where a brother or sister is overcome with trials and troubles?
And many are, and many are facing great trials today and this week. What is the fitful word? Well, we have it here in Philippians chapter 4. Be careful for nothing, or be over anxious for nothing. Don't be consumed by your anxiety or your worry. Don't let the devil strangle or choke your joy and happiness in the Lord. But in everything, this is what the Lord says, in everything by trust, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And there's our trust this morning. Notice the answer that Paul gives to this. In everything. You know, that reminds me, there is nothing too hard for God. In everything. There is not a burden too heavy. But God can give you grace to carry, or God can lift and carry you through. There is not one part in your life, it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God, friend. There is not an era in your life that God's not interested in. Don't limit God. Oh, God wouldn't be interested in that. Actually, another translation of those words, in everything, is also in every time, at every opportunity, every day, every day, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend. That's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. The hymn writer said, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry. Everything to God in prayer. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee this morning that thou hast a word for our hearts today, for many of your children have burdens. Many of thy children, O God, carry heavy burdens. And I pray today that thou will give them grace to tell them to Jesus. Help them in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to let their requests be made known unto God. And Father, thou dost love thy children to share their burdens with thee, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And today, Lord, we think of those with the burden of sin, and those that know nothing of this wonderful Savior that we have. Oh, my God, we pray that they might come with their sinfulness, acknowledging, confessing their sin before thee, and rest their soul upon the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross, the Savior of sinners. And, O God, know the pardon and peace of Christ within. We pray in Jesus' precious name, for Jesus' sake. Amen.